Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I really want to urge you to get a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. This is, I speak of one or two aspects of mercy here, about forgiveness toward others and how that brings us into the presence of God in a very profound way. I want you, if you haven't read that booklet, I'm in the process of writing one now, more for this year of mercy, but I would like you all to have a copy of the booklet Captured by Mercy, because this will lay a good foundation for what I'll say in an upcoming booklet. I hope that's clear to you. In other words, there's a second booklet coming on mercy, and I think both of them should be very, very helpful to you as we enter in, as we plan, prepare to enter into this great year of mercy, a very blessed year where we will see the action of the mercy of God in the lives of many people. And all of us need it. It's whether we're willing to humble ourselves and acknowledge, ask for forgiveness, and receive not just forgiveness, which is the most important expression of mercy, but it's also all the rest that God has for us. So for this Sunday, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're going to look at first the Book of Wisdom. I prayed and prudence was given me. What's prudence? Prudence means I know, I think carefully, and I know and am able to make the right decisions. I don't just haphazardly go about. I prudently think, weigh the results, and make the best decisions I can with God's help for my life and the life of those I love. A prudent person is someone you want very close to you because they think carefully, not anxiously, but they have the right order in their minds of what ought to happen first. I prayed and prudence was given me. I pleaded and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter and throne. I deemed riches nothing in comparison with her, nor did I liken any priceless gem to her. In other words, being given the gifts of God is more to me than all the riches in the world, or power, or power. He says, I preferred her to scepter and throne and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her, nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand, and before her silver is to be accounted mire. That's like wet mud. Beyond health and comeliness, I loved her. I chose to have her rather than the light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things together came to me in her company and countless riches at her hands. It's prudent, brothers and sisters, to put God first in your life. It's prudent to live by the commandments of God and by his word. It's prudent, brothers and sisters, to make some decisions about the end goal of your life and what you want it to be. Make plans. Decide. Walk the right path. You can't drift into the kingdom of heaven. Ask God for prudence. Ask God for wisdom to make the right decisions and have the right priorities now in your life. Psalm 90 tells us, fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Teach us to number our days aright. That's what prudence helps us to do. It's a virtue. Ask for it. Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Brothers and sisters, indeed the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. It is prudent, brothers and sisters, to take that passage from the letter to the Hebrews and apply it to your life. No creature is concealed from him. Everything is naked and exposed to the eye of him to whom we must render an account. That's what I was saying yesterday on the program. You need to make some decisions. You can't drift into heaven. It's prudent to put your house in order. It's prudent to have clarity. Ask God for the gift. Ask God to teach you and allow his word to form you. It will help you to prioritize in ways that nothing else can. Because this word, the word of God, is not a book of good advice. It's a living word that not only gives you wisdom, but gives you the power to change. The word of God is living, active. It can convict. It can challenge. It can comfort. It can do many things for you. Let the word of God lead your life. And the gospel for this Sunday is the gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 30. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Brothers and sisters, we can say, "Lord, I love you, and Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good Catholic. I want to live a good life, and I want to live it according to your word." That's wonderful. But then what this young man had been saying is, I've done all these things from the beginning. And Jesus loved him for that. But he said to him, "One thing is lacking. Go sell what you have." In other words, I'm calling you to give away everything and come follow me. Now, God may not be asking that of all of us, that we give away everything. But frankly, brothers and sisters, everything we have is given to us by God, so we don't really own it. That's true. Even if your blood, sweat, and tears went into it, it's still, God is the origin of all that you have that is good. And so, in a sense, in a very real sense, it all belongs to him. So if you really want to follow the Lord closely, you say to the Lord, "All this work and all the fruit of this work belongs to you. And I praise you and glorify you and honor you for the success I've had. It all belongs to you. Teach me what to do with it." And certainly that means providing for family and all that kind of the giving to the poor. That's obvious. But deep in the heart, brothers and sisters, what it means is, don't be so attached to those things that you're more attached to them than to God. You're more attached to your reputation of generosity than you're really attached to God. You're more attached to the thanksgiving that the poor give you than you are to God. You see, everything we have, we're actually stewards of it. We don't own it. And if we're good stewards, blessed be God. But good stewards recognize that they are stewards, not masters. He is the master. And if you say, well, this isn't something for church, this is something for in my just my worldly job, so to speak, my job in the world. No, everything belongs to God. Everything. So you want to have the attitude, the spirit in you that God has given me these things and I will one day have to render an account for what I've done with what I've been given. Yes, I labored for it. Yes, I spent a lot of sleepless nights. Yes, my blood, sweat, and tears are in it. But really, brothers and sisters, we are stewards. He is the owner. And we need to be in a position where we really see ourselves in that light and are willing and actually eager to render an account. When we've achieved that, God can entrust us with a lot more. That often happens. So the gospel tells us that this rich young man, when Jesus told him, go sell what you have, he was testing him, give to the poor, and then come follow me. At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. See, he saw them as his. Well, we do when we work for something. We think of them as ours. But in reality, ultimately, we're the steward and God is the owner. How do you treat what you've been given? How do you treat the fruits of your labor? Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, then who can be saved? If that's the case, we'd ask the same question, I'm sure. And Jesus looked at them and said, for human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God. And Peter began to say to him, we've given up everything and followed you. And Jesus said, amen, I say to you, there is no one who's given up house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And eternal life in the age to come. So the Lord is clearly telling us when we follow him, we will find that people all over the world become our brothers and sisters. We find that we have more treasures in a sense than we could have ever garnered by simply the work of our hands. In other words, brothers and sisters, when we really place ourselves in the kingdom of God and seek to live according to the kingdom of God, we will have more wealth. And that wealth is not just in dollars and cents. We'll have more wealth than we could have ever imagined. God has much for us. Please let us give our lives fully to him and put everything in them under his lordship. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.